He gives the example of taxi licensing restrictions, a government policy that disproportionately hurts blacks. But since it is not thought of as a racial issue per se, racial pressure groups do absolutely nothing to overturn it. That's another reason we should stop thinking in terms of race. Consider Sowell. Politically, however, it makes far more sense for a black leader to fight tooth and nail for 100 more CETA, Comprehensive Employment and Training Act, jobs in the Philadelphia ghetto than to fight for an end to taxi licensing restrictions, even though the latter would probably mean thousands more jobs for blacks, jobs with far higher pay than CETA jobs and of permanent duration. Ghetto jobs are an earmarked benefit, however few, tenuous and low-paid. Benefits to blacks as members of the general public are no feather in a black leader's cap, even if blacks are benefited more than others by gaining access that was nearly impossible for them before. As I discuss in Chapter 5, the federal war on drugs has wrought disproportionate harm on minority communities. Allowing for states' rights here would surely be an improvement, for the states could certainly do a better and more sensible job than the federal government has been doing if they were free to decide the issue for themselves. And although people studying my record will discover how consistent I have been over the years, they will uncover one major shift. In recent years, I have dropped my support for the federal death penalty. It is a dangerous power for the federal government to have, and it is exercised in a discriminatory way. If you are poor and black, you are much more likely to receive this punishment. We should not think in terms of whites, blacks, Hispanics, and other such groups. That kind of thinking only divides us. The only us versus them thinking in which we might indulge is the people, all the people, versus the government, which loots and lies to us all, threatens our liberties, and shreds our Constitution. That's not a white or black issue. That's an American issue, and it's one on which Americans of all races can unite in a spirit of goodwill. That may be why polls in 2007 found ours the most popular Republican campaign among black voters. If our government were scrupulously faithful to the Constitution, we would not need to be especially concerned when a person who represents a philosophy different from our own takes political office. Our Constitution delegates relatively few tasks to the federal government, so it should almost be a matter of indifference who was elected. We wouldn't have to worry that a social policy of which we disapproved would be imposed on our neighborhood at the whim of the new president and his court appointees, or that more of our money would be stolen to fund yet another government boondoggle. And we would also be spared the spectacle of countless American individuals and corporations frantically donating to candidates for political office during election years in order to reserve a place on the federal gravy train if their favorite should win. I've often cautioned conservatives who are tempted to give more power to the federal government in general, or the executive branch in particular, that those individual powers be available to whoever takes office next, and that person may not be to your liking. I now find myself offering the same words of caution to liberals. Whatever temptation you may have to exceed the powers granted under the Constitution, understand that you are opening a Pandora's box. Once we lose our respect for the Constitution and begin interpreting it so that it happens to permit our pet programs, we have no right to be surprised when our political opponents come along with their own ideas for interpreting the Constitution loosely. To be sure, the U.S. Constitution is not perfect. Few human contrivances are. But it's a pretty good one, I think, and it defines and limits the scope of government. When we get into the habit of disregarding it or, what is the same thing, interpreting certain key phrases so broadly as to allow the federal government to do whatever it wants, we do so at our peril. We will wind up with a situation like the one we face right now that few Americans are happy with. I do not believe that most Americans want to continue down this path. Undeclared wars without end, more and more police state measures, and a constitution that may as well not exist. But this is not a fated existence. We do not have to live in this kind of America. it is not too late to rally and recall our people to the Constitution, the rule of law, and our traditional American republic.